We're going to get into the Word. We've been, for those of you who are new to this house or haven't been here the last couple of weeks, we've been preaching into our key theme for the year, which is devoted to hospitality. I love this theme. I'm really excited about being hospitable in this house. So much so that my wife and I, to actually ingrain this into who we are as C3 powerhouse people, but as Christians, we've scheduled, and I'm engaging my calendar, which is not my natural inclination, but I was the one who put it in the calendar. How good. I know. Fortnightly, we've opened up our house and we're just saying, come over, have a feed after the fast, so that we can enjoy sacred hospitality together. And I would encourage you to prayerfully consider how you can engage in this theme this year. But we've been preaching out of the key scripture verse for this theme. It's out of the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, and it says this: all the believers devoted themselves. Say, devoted themselves. Say that again. Devoted themselves. There we go. To the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And we've begun to unpack how these different patterns outlined in this passage of Scripture, they mimic a church in revival. They outline the different things that a church in revival is devoting themselves to. And we summarize it in these three kind of main areas: that followers of Jesus devote themselves to the Word of God, to the presence of God, and to the people of God. And last week, we spoke into the presence of God. How, as followers of Jesus, we are devoted to seeking the presence of God in the place of prayer. It was such a fantastic service in the AM and the PM. I'd encourage you to listen to the podcast. But today, I'll be speaking into being devoted to the Word of God. And this here is my Word. This is my first Bible. It's still in existence. 14 years old. Got it when I was in school, as a fresh teen, 13 year old. And so my relationship with this wonderful book began that long ago, 13 or 14 years ago, when I started following Jesus. And as a 13 year old, didn't necessarily understand it at the time. Didn't know where to begin. Didn't really understand the significance of it. But I was hungry to know God, and I knew that He had something to say to me. So each day, I'd grab that Bible. I'd grab a journal. And in my blissful ignorance at the time as a 13-year-old, I grabbed this book, and I knew that God would speak to me. So I'd say, God, would you speak to me today? And I'd take it, and I'd open it, and we'd just start reading. Thank you, Ben. What a champion. Give it up for Ben. Such a servant-hearted man. Love it. And I would just begin to read. And I would read until something stood out to me. And God was really kind and patient enough in that time. He would speak things that were just so necessary and needed for the day that I was about to walk into without me realizing. Other times I'd turn to Leviticus and I had no idea what I was reading. It was just a whole bunch of really messy stuff that I really was just confusing, and I didn't really get much out of it. And sometimes it was just, I got to actually just learn a little bit more about who Jesus was, which ultimately impacted me. But I know for myself that since then, my love for this Word has only grown. Year after year, I've immersed myself into these scriptures, whether it's been in my personal devotions, whether it's been through discipleship training, through internship and Bible college in this house, whether it's been through connect groups or Sunday services. I've read now this beautiful book cover to cover a few times now, and I'm so convinced, and I'm only becoming more convinced, that this book is the greatest book ever written. Is the greatest, most powerful, life-changing book that I could ever engage my life with. And my aim in my heart this morning is that us as the church would catch that passion, would discover or rediscover the passion to engage with the Word of God and to live a life of devotion to it. Because you need to understand, as believers, the Word of God is foundational to the life of a Christian. It is foundation. It is the rock on which we build the house of our lives. And it's important for us that when we talk about Scripture, it's really important for us to actually understand what Scripture says about itself. The Word of God actually speaks to us about the Word of God. It's awesome. Joshua 1 verse 7 to 8 says this: be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. So that's Old Testament talking about the significance of the word. We go to the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God, that's you and I, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we see that when we live a life devoted to the word of God, prosperity and success in what God has called us to do is promised. We see that if we are to be thoroughly equipped to do all that God's called you and I to do, we have to live a life devoted to the word of God. We have to engage with the God-breathed word of God. Allow me just to Bible nerd with you for a second. I'm going to help us understand historically what the church globally has believed about the scriptures. Okay, we believe that this book is not just an ancient book of religious texts, just to be really clear. We believe that this book, though a collection of 66 books written by 40 different authors, was inspired and authored by God himself. Through the Holy Spirit, we believe that it is this word called infallible. To summarize that, it just means that it is incapable of deception. It is totally honest, totally true. We believe that it is also inerrant, meaning it is incapable of error. Incapable of error. And it carries the same power and the authority that spoke creation into existence. The same words that God spoke to create you and I are put in written form today and carry that same power and authority. We believe it's God's heart on paper. We believe it is God's ultimate self-expression of who he is, how he relates to us, and how we are to relate to him. There's this early church father who existed just after the time of Paul. His name's Clement of Rome, and he said this, look carefully into the scriptures, which are the true utterances of the Holy Spirit. Observe that nothing of an unjust or counterfeit character is written in them, meaning that these scriptures are perfect. And what I love about this book is it actually historically recognizes the most historically accurate book in existence. We have more historical evidence for the things that happened in this book than Julius Caesar's existence. It's amazing. I love this book. So it's so imperative that us as Jesus followers that we devote ourselves to this word just as much as we devote ourselves to prayer. They're both as equally important. If we are all prayer and no word, we're connecting with a God that we don't know. We're connecting with a God that we don't know. If we are all word and no prayer, we know about a God that we haven't connected with. And another early church father, I love how they word it. They're so articulate. St. Jerome in the fourth century says this, and it's so powerful. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. Ignorance of scripture. If we don't know scripture, we don't know God. And he says this, when we pray, we speak to God, but when we read, God speaks to us. That is the essence of this word. And so I want to help us understand what it looks like to be devoted to the word of God this morning. Firstly, the word devoted in that passage of scripture in Acts, when you translate it into its original language, Greek, it's this word proskartereo, which is, it speaks, just a little bit of rolling of the R's in there, because that's how they said it, I think. Anyway, it says this, it's translated to continue steadfastly. It says to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to continue all the time in a place. That's that idea of devotion. And so we see that if we're to be devoted to the word of God, we've got to be devoted to it daily, consistently, continually. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 to 3 says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner's take, or sit in the company of mockers. But I love this, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on it, when? Day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. And so we understand by this passage of scripture that when we devote ourselves to God's word on a daily basis, we plant ourselves, or we position ourselves to receive the spiritual nutrients from God that result in the fruit of God's Spirit on the inside of us. That's outlined in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience. Come on, somebody. Someone needs that in the room. I know I need that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I don't know about you, but I want my life to emulate these things. I want, when people look at my life and they talk about me, I want them to say, Isaac Childs models these things. And the invitation for us is if we want to see that fruit, we have to plant ourselves in the nutrient-rich soil of his word in order to do that. We also see that the word of God is likened to bread elsewhere in scripture. Who loves a fresh loaf of bread in this time of fasting? Come on, somebody. I cannot wait. 4 days' time. Sourdough, get in my belly. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And in the same way, we need food to sustain us physically. We need the scriptures to sustain us spiritually. So much that I'd be bold enough to say that a biblically absent Christian is a malnourished Christian. During this time of fasting, I would imagine that most of us would relate that you don't have the same energy and strength that you would normally have when you've got all of the protein and goodness in your diet. I remember a couple months ago when I first started getting back into the gym, I pushed myself quite hard. I had David Morris, my brother-in-law, alongside me, and we always just egg each other on. And so I was pushing quite hard, but I had just about had very little to eat that day. And we got towards the end of the set, and all of a sudden, it's like everything went really foggy. And I got really lightheaded, and I'm like, oh, I'm not okay. I'd been pushing myself really hard. I'd been exerting myself, but I didn't have the sustenance on the inside to actually sustain me through the work that I was doing. So much so that I had to sit down for 15 minutes, stumbled through Aldi like a drunk person to get groceries, and then I went home and passed out for about 60 minutes because I had worked myself way too hard without the sustenance that I needed. And for you and I, when we engage in the works of God without the sustenance, without the nutrients, without the fuel of his word on the inside, we only give a portion of what God's commissioned us to do. And so we need to get that daily bread, just like Jesus instructs us to pray for. We need daily sustenance in order to carry out the life of a devoted Christian. Sometimes it's 10 minutes when I engage in the scriptures, but it's daily. I open up the scriptures. I get my coffee. I set aside that place, my office, where I can engage with him. And yeah, sometimes it's 10 minutes. Sometimes it's a couple hours, but it's the daily discipline of devoting myself to the word that I position myself to hear his word, to receive what I need to live out each day for him. And getting into the word daily isn't just where we get our spiritual sustenance. It's where we hear God's voice. Do you know that God wants to actually speak to you daily? God has something to say about every decision you make. I actually learned just recently that we make about 35,000 decisions a day. Did you know that? 35,000 decisions a day. And God wants to be a part of every single one. And when we position ourselves in the word, that's where we go, God, I'm ready for you to speak to me. What do you have to say about each conversation I have, about each thought that I think, about each person that I interact with? We position ourselves to hear God's voice. If you want to hear the voice of God, this book is the predominant way. It is the first and primary way in which God speaks to us, because it is his word. It's his words on paper. We don't have to wait for this thundering boom from heaven to audibly speak to us. We have his words right in front of us on a daily basis to guide us into our lives. And lastly, when we devote ourselves to the word daily, it also helps us to align our hearts and minds to adopt a godly worldview. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I know that in this day and age, there are so many voices and opinions and agendas that are trying to shape how we see the world. A lot of it, which is not from God, whether it's politics, media, our upbringing, the people that we surround ourselves with on a daily basis, they're always trying to cause us to adopt a worldview that is counterfeit to the worldview that God has called us to walk in. And when we engage with the word daily, we allow our minds to be renewed through the truth of his scripture. His scriptures, the word, is the ultimate source of truth. And it's how we are meant to mold our worldview to its truth. Nowhere else. There are so many opinions that will come and go, but God's word is consistent and true. That has been true since its creation. It'll be true to the end. It'll always be true. The enemy can't take that out. And so to help us practically, if you've never picked up a Bible before, here's a few quick tips. Start in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, unpacking the life, the teaching, the heart of Jesus. such a great place to start. Or pick up a Bible in the year, in 1 year reading plan. That's just such a great way to kind of cover the scriptures holistically. Looks at Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, Proverb. Really great way just to help navigate your way through the scriptures. And I would encourage you to set a place consistently aside where you go to meet with Him. Make it consistent. Make it like you're setting up a coffee date with God each morning. God, I'm coming to this place each day, and that's where I'm going to meet with you, regardless of time. Make it consistent. And can I encourage you to pray before you read? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Revelation. What does that mean? It means that He is the one who reveals the truth of Scripture to us. If the Holy Spirit isn't present while we're reading, we're just reading words. And I can tell you how many times I've read these scriptures and it's gone in one ear out the other because I didn't engage the Holy Spirit as I read. And can I encourage you to set the goal of reading one chapter a day? It takes about 5 minutes, unless you're reading Psalm chapter 119, which is the longest passage of scripture. It's the longest chapter. That'll take you a little bit longer. But one chapter a day is a great goal to set. And I know that as you devote yourself to that daily, it'll just encourage you. And take a journal with you where you can write down your thoughts, where you can write the things that God's saying to you so you can reflect back to it on a daily basis and remind yourself of when God's spoken to you. God wants to speak to us individually each day. And just a tangent for a second, He doesn't just want to speak to us individually, He wants to speak to us collectively as His body, as the church. And God has actually positioned those in leadership in this house to hear from God and to communicate the direction that He is leading us as the church, as C3 Powerhouse in this season. In the way that Paul had a word to say to individual churches, letters written to individual churches in individual contexts and in individual seasons, God has positioned Pastor John and Danielle and the leadership of this house to pray and to hear from God as to the direction that He's leading us collectively as the body of Christ, which is where things like devoted to hospitality come from. And so I want to encourage us in this age of saturated information, right? You can get your teaching and you can get your understanding of Scripture from anywhere, whether it's podcasts, TikToks, social media. It's so easy to get a feel of God's Word from external sources. All of those places, however, bring this temptation as it's outlined in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, where we can so easily just chase after what we want to hear. We can chase after the things that just edify our own worldview without actually submitting ourselves to the authority of the place that God has placed us in this house. And so in 1 Corinthians 4:15 says you have many teachers, you have even thousands of teachers, but not many fathers. And Pastor John and Danielle have been placed in this house as the spiritual parents or the oversight of this house to take charge over us, who care for us, who pray for us, who know where we're at, and have a word that is in season for each and every single one of us. And so, as a son of the house, I've committed myself that each Sunday that I'm here, I'm engaging my heart to hear what God has to say, not just individually, but in my role in this body. And He has something for each and every single one of us. And why do I do that? Not because I elevate Pastor John and Danielle to the same authority as Christ, but I know that Hebrews 13:17 tells me to have confidence in their leadership and to submit to their authority because they watch over us as someone who has actually been charged by God and are held accountable to Him for how they lead. And so if that's the case, there is a trust that comes as I submit myself under the words that are spoken from this pulpit to this house. And so can I encourage you, when you come into church on a Sunday or whatever time you find yourself together in the body of Christ in this house, let it not just be a religious duty, but engage your heart to hear what God has to say to us as C3 Powerhouse. What direction is He leading us into in this next season? We want to devote ourselves to the Word daily and collectively, individually. That's what it is to be devoted to the Word. Secondly, to be devoted to the Word is to be devoted to meditating on the Word of God, okay? So to paint a clear picture, the Word, the world's understanding of meditation is not what I'm talking about here. Okay, as opposed to clearing our minds and emptying our minds of thought, the biblical understanding of meditation, which you found in Joshua chapter 1 that we read and Psalm chapter 1 that we read, it talks about this idea of murmuring or muttering the scriptures out loud and pondering their implications. It's actually filling our minds with the scriptures. This is why we've got to move beyond just reading the word as a religious activity. It's not just about opening your Bible app and getting your verse of the day to keep your scripture streak going, okay? It's not just listening to the chapter of the audio Bible because that's just what you've been doing by habit, okay? It's because we can do all those things and retain nothing. We can do all of those things, and if I were, I'm not going to do it, but if I were to have a show of hands to go, hey, what did God speak to you about yesterday? Do you remember it? I can't imagine a lot of hands would be going up in the room. I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this, okay? But I've made a decision to be devoted to the Word. And if we want the Word to truly come alive on the inside, we need to move beyond just ticking a box and actually pondering the Scriptures, to memorizing the Scriptures, to studying them, to wrestling with the Scriptures. I'd ask this question. When was the last time the Word of God challenged you? When was the last time that the Word of God left you with more questions than answers? And what did you do with that? Did you just throw the baby out with the bathwater, or did you wrestle and go to work on renewing your mind and aligning how you see the world to the truth of the Scriptures? That's what it is to meditate on the Word. It's where we allow those questions to arise and we allow our lives to be molded to its truth, where we go through the wrestle of going, okay, God, I recognize I'm not currently living what I'm reading. Help me to align myself, to allow this Word to transform my life. And so for me, the way that I meditate on the Scriptures is intermittently, I'll set myself the challenge of memorizing verses or even chapters of the Bible as a way of meditating on the Scripture. I also, just as a personal discipline, I've set an alarm on my phone at midday and 3 p.m. titled Meditate, which triggers me to reflect on what I read in the morning. So for example, that'll pop up at 12 p.m. and I remember how yesterday I was reading in the book of Micah. And I was reading how in the book of Micah there's this continual pattern of judgment for God's people because they were living in complete and utter rebellion, but there was always a cycle of restoration. And I read about how in Micah chapter 4, it talks about how the mountain of the Lord will be established as the highest mountain above all hills and all peoples will stream to it. And that, and as I consider that and reflect on that, that gives me hope for the end of days that even though stuff might be turned into crud in the world, the church will be established as the highest place of influence in all the earth. And that gives me a sense of hope. That's what happens when those alarms trigger, and it helps me to reflect and to meditate upon the Scriptures. I also utilize study tools, stuff like a Bible commentary, which are theologians and scholars who have actually done the work of unpacking the Scriptures for me, so I don't have to go looking for that myself. I look for Bible dictionaries that unpack each individual word to help me to understand what those words actually mean in their original language. All these different kinds of things. I use the Strong's Concordance, which is, again, looking at like the original Hebrew and Greek. That's just because I'm a bit of a Bible nerd. But I'm passionate to dive into the immensity, the depth of these Scriptures. There is so much we can receive as we meditate on these Scriptures. And so if we are to be a church devoted to the Word, we must devote ourselves to meditating on the Word. And my encouragement to you would be to take one passage of Scripture and just begin to memorize it, consider it, reflect on it. Use John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but receive everlasting life. There is just streams and streams of gold to be unpacked from that one Scripture if you would allow yourself to consider it. What does it mean that you love the world, Lord? What does it mean that you gave your one and only Son? I'm just considering and reflecting and meditating upon that. That is what it is to be devoted to the Word. We can't just let these words just pass by. It is just, there is an immensity, there is a depth, there is just so much that we can unpack if we would take the time to meditate and to reflect. And the last couple thoughts that I have around the idea of being devoted to the Word, I'll get through them quickly. Followers of Jesus, if we are to be an Acts 2:42 church, we're devoted to the Word daily. We're devoted to meditating in the Word, and we're devoted to fight with the Word. Here's what I mean by that. When you and I become believers, we enter a climate of spiritual warfare. Since the beginning of time, there has been a wrestle between the agenda of God and the agenda of the enemy. And the agenda of the enemy is constantly wanting to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God is doing in our lives and wants to do in our lives. And we see this battle going on time and time again. He is hell-bent on separating us from God and to keeping us crippled in our walk with faith. And we believe that Jesus has robbed him of ultimate power on the cross. We believe that. And ultimately, we know his final destination. But it's a daily discipline of continuing to walk in that victory that he's already won for us, because he does not stop trying to rob us of that victory. And Ephesians 6:17 tells us that the Word of God is the only weapon we have. It's it. The only weapon we have to combat the enemy is the Word of God. And we see this perfect picture of warfare with the Word of God in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I won't read it for the sake of time, but if you're taking your notes, go and read that passage of Scripture. I know it'll bless you. But Jesus is in the wilderness after having this moment where he's affirmed by the Father. He is affirmed as the Son of God in whom God is well pleased. And he goes into the wilderness. He's been fasting for 40 days. Come on, we're in this atmosphere of fasting. We need to take a hold of this. And the enemy comes, and what does he say? If you are the Son of God, do X, Y, and Z. And that's the agenda of the enemy. He comes to undermine and to distort the words that God has spoken, the truth of his word, but also the individual words that he's spoken to you and I in our faith journey. And so he tries to distort, he tries to undermine it, he tries to get us to question the truth of God's word. And how does Jesus respond? Does he send a legion of angels to kick him back to hell? No. Does he bind him in heavenly chains? No. What does he say? It is written. That is the only way in which he overcomes the enemy in that moment. It is written. And so that is how we are meant to engage with the enemy. When there are lies that try to take hold of our mind, when there are things where the enemy comes in and says, are you really saved? When he says, did God say that you have to be, did he really say you have to be perfect in order to please him? Did God really say that you have to live in poverty in order to please God? Did God really say that you're worth anything? When we hear those lies, and I'm telling you, if you are yet to experience them, they will come. Our response is, it is written. And we have in this word so many different swords that we can take a hold of to combat the enemy. So for me, when the enemy has come and caused me to doubt my position in Christ, I say that it is by grace that I've been saved through faith. And it is not of myself, it is the gift of God, not by works that any man may boast. I also say that I'm wholly blameless, without accusation in his sight. These are the things that I combat the enemy with. It's the word of God. And so I want to encourage you, if there are things where you find yourself wrestling in your mind, where you find the enemy trying to sow lies, get into the word, take a hold of it as a sword, get your passages of scripture that you again have memorized to combat the enemy and walk in daily victory over his lies in Jesus' name. That's how we overcome him. And it's a daily discipline sometimes. Sometimes it's easier than others, but when you have them written down, when you have them in front of you, when you have them on the inside, we can fight the good fight of faith and overcome the enemy. And lastly, if we are to be devoted to the word, we're ultimately devoted to connect with God through the word. I love what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39 to 40. He says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And the beautiful thing about these scriptures, above all else, the goal of devoting ourselves to the word is to connect with God, is to know his heart, to know what pleases him, to know what displeases him, to hear his voice and to know what he has to say about who I am and about who he is. The devotion we have to the word is one of love. This is God's diary in which I get to learn about who he is and how I can love him best. And without it, I'm wandering and trying to figure it out on my own. And as a married man who has had to learn what it is to love his wife with very few points of reference, it's tough. You got to go through the process of learning. But in the context of relationship, God has given us this word so that we can know how much he loves us and that we can know how to love him. That's the most amazing thing about this book, about this word, is that through it, we can actually know God. We can actually know him. He's not this abstract idea. He's not this distant being in the cosmos, disinterested with our lives. But he's given us this word to say, I'm present and I'm knowable. I can be known as the closest friend you could ever know. And I can be involved in every moment of your life. And so we're going to create a moment now for those here who recognize that they don't know God. God is so passionate about us knowing him that he sent Jesus, that the Bible says, bless you, bro. Bless you. Awesome. Okay, one more time. Can we just stretch out our hands and close our eyes? Father, I thank you for your word. We love your word. And I pray that C3 Powerhouse would be recognized and marked as a church that is devoted to your word. Father, I thank you that you're going to begin to speak to every single person in this room like they have never known before as they pick up the word. Even today as they go home, that there would just be a life and a joy and a sweetness that comes on the inside as they engage with you and they begin to hear your voice and walk in your ways, in your truth. They begin to meditate on the scriptures, to overcome the schemes of the enemy with the sword of your word and to connect with you in the precious name of Jesus. We all said, amen. I'm going to pass over to Pastor T.